guys. I just wanted to ask you about, well, congratulations, first of all.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about NFL films and your memories of being on NFL films, your memories of being mic'd up, and what that experience was like.
Well, obviously, if they, you know, they think of something to mic you up, that means you're a pretty good player, and they think you're very colorful, that you're going to have something to say. And I think it gives people an opportunity not only to go inside, just to hear what's going on the sideline, what possibly could be going on in the huddle, but it also gives people an opportunity to see your personality, what you're actually like during the course of a game. I mean, sometimes they can see, but they really can't see and hear, can't put the body movement, the body language with the voice. And so it gave people an opportunity to see, you know, Shannon Sharp in a different light. And so I was glad. I remember the first time they asked me to do it. Obviously, it was a huge honor. And I was glad I could get an opportunity to show people a different side of me during the course of the game.
Now, was there ever a time where you thought, did I just say that? Oh, man, you know, you forget the mic's there. And specifically, any sort of memories of something you might have said that made you laugh later?
You know, not really, because I was always conscious, you know, because the thing is, even in the most tense of times, in the heat of the battle, you always try to be professional, especially with your teammates. Now, what I said to some of the other guys on the opposing teams, that really never bothered me. But at the end of the day, I always remembered if a guy dropped a pass or he missed a block or, you know, he missed a tackle, he missed an interception, yeah, you can get upset with him, but you still have to realize that's still going to be your teammate after this game is over. And this is a guy that you're going to have to see every day for another 3-4 months. So you were always conscious of that, and it was something that maybe, yeah, you could get upset, of course. It's the heat of the moment. You know, you want to win the ball game. But if it's something that I really felt that I needed to say, I really felt that I could wait until, you know, Monday or Tuesday where I could really put him inside and say, okay, look, I think we can do a better job than this and not voice, you know, your displeasure with a particular individual on a particular play.
Hey, Shannon, this is D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
What's up, O?
Not too much, man. Hey, could you talk about, you know, the origins of your career at Savannah State and, you know, reflect on that and how you made it from Savannah State all the way to Canton, Ohio there?
Well, to make a long story short, it wasn't my first choice, but I think it was the best choice. My former coach, who's no longer with us, Bill Davis, he came down to recruit me, and he had a great sales pitch. He said, if I was an NFL team and I had the first pick in the draft, you'd be the first player I took. And when he told me that, you know, it resonated with me. Obviously, this was a coach that thought a lot about my ability, thought I could add a lot to the program, and it was the best choice that I could have made. When I got there, Savannah State was just my springboard to get me to where I wanted to be, and that was in the National Football League. But in the meantime, I had 4 years to complete this process. I said, so while I'm here, I might as well really work towards my degree. I didn't want to be one of those guys that went to school 4 years, and he was no closer to graduating when he left than when he was when he got there. So I worked really hard in the classroom, made sure I did my work, because I knew I wanted to play in the National Football League. I knew I was going to get an opportunity because I was going to put up the numbers that someone was going to have to give me a chance. And the rest was up to me. And I went to the best situation. The Denver Broncos, Dan Reeves gave me that opportunity, basically came up with a position to get me on the field, and that was it. I got an opportunity, and I took advantage of it. And here we are, you know, 17, 18, what, 20-plus years later, from when I got drafted in 1990, I'm going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame with the greats of the greats. And it's not something that I set out to accomplish. I just wanted to play 3 or 4 years in the National Football League. That way I could at least tell my kids, your dad played in the NFL, my grandkids are playing in the NFL one day. And lo and behold, the next thing you know, you look up and you're 10 years in and you've won 2 Super Bowls. And when I watch the NFL Network and I see them, you know, scroll across the bottom of the screen, you know, the 2011 Hall of Fame inductees, I still wait to see if my name is still going to come up at the end, and then I can turn the channel and watch something else, because it still feels so surreal to me.
Hey, Shannon, how about, what's your take on the evolution of the position and where we're at now? Some people want to eliminate the position. We still have Tony Gonzalez here in Atlanta, but what's your take on what you were able to do and what's the future of the position?
Well, I think the position is going to continue to grow, because if you look at it, that's where you get the best mismatch. Because if you look at the cornerbacks are as fast, if not faster, than the wide receivers. And they're just as big, just as physical. But when you get a tight end, and now you're starting to see they're going to pluck these guys that's too short to play in the NBA, but they know how to move without the ball. Antonio Gates, obviously, Tony, he played basketball. The Broncos took a guy this year that was a basketball player. Everybody's trying to get that guy like a 6'4", 6'5", about 235, 245-ish, and he can run. And he understands position, he understands angles. I've always felt that was where the best matchup was, a tight end on a linebacker or a tight end on a strong safety. And you look at the teams that are really successful, they know how to use the tight end. I was very fortunate to play with a quarterback for 9 years that believed in me, trusted me, trusted my decision-making. We talked a lot about how he wanted wanted me to run the route. You know, they can draw the route up any kind of way they want to. They can say it's supposed to be at 10 or you're supposed to go to 14. But at the end of the day, John, how deep do you want me to get? Because it needs to time up with his drop. So once his back foot hit, he needs to know that I'm in my route and he can throw the football. And we got to factor in, I got to dodge a linebacker. I possibly have to dodge a defensive lineman. I might get bumped all the way down the field. So, you know, 10 to 12, that might not be reasonable. As long as when he was ready to throw the football, I was ready to catch it. That was all that mattered between he and I. And so we had a great relationship, and I think the position is just going to – I mean, you see the Gates, you see the Gonzalez's, the Wittens, the Dallas Clarks. The guys are just going to keep putting up numbers because, you know, people want to see offense. And the rules that they've implemented to really help the passing game and the offense, I don't think you're going to see it come back. It's never going to be a day again where you see the 260-pound guy that all he does is block. You need a tight end that can get you 50, 60, 70, 80 catches now in order to be successful and to have a successful offense in this league.
Could you talk about your relationship with Sterling, who was, you know, definitely on his way until, you know, I covered him up there in Green Bay when he, you know, the neck and was at that game. He was definitely on his way to Canton. So how was it, you know, being able to share this by letting him speak on your behalf at the ceremony?
It's great because for me, basically, my speech is about the 14 years in the National Football League was about me. Now is my opportunity to share with the viewing audience at home and the listening and the stand is the people that helped me get to this point. Some of the people you might know, you might have heard me mention their name, but now it's time for me to put, you know, the face and the name together. And my brother, we you know, he was 3 years older than I was, and I've always wanted to be like that. Always. And he was my best friend growing up, and we still get along really well. Today, we still talk a lot, not as much as we once did, because, you know, we're you know, he's in his late 40s, I'm in my, you know, early to mid 40s, and so we have different lives now. But there's no question I wouldn't be where I am without him. He told me what to expect in college. He told me what to expect in the National Football League, and he was just always there. And to be able to share this moment with him. I thought it was supposed to be the other way around. I was supposed to be, you know, presenting him and not him presenting me. But we're going in the camp together.
Hey, Shannon, appreciate it.
Thanks, Lo.
All right.
Anything else for Shannon?
Shannon, Mike Duffy from BaltimoreRavens.com here.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hey, I know you brief time in Baltimore, but I guess what would be a better memory for you, hoisting the Super Bowl trophy for a third time or racing 96 yards up the field again?
I really enjoyed my 2 years there, and as much as I would have loved to play my entire 14-year career with one organization, I think getting an opportunity to go play with the Ravens, getting an opportunity to become a friend with a Ray Lewis, a Rod Woodson, getting an opportunity to work under Ozzie Newsome, who I admired as a player for such a long time. The guys that I met, enjoyed Brian Billick. I enjoyed everything about the experience in Baltimore. And, for me, the Super Bowls is always about the chase.
Right.
Yeah, it was great to hold the trophy, but the experience that you gain, you really find out a lot about yourself. You find out about a lot about your coaching staff. You find out a lot about the other players and what it takes to get to that point. And then once you get to that point and you accomplish your goal, you look back and you're like, wow. And for us, nobody thought.
Right.
Picked us to be where we ended up being after the season. And so for us to get there and to accomplish it, and with the cast of characters that we had, I don't think you'll ever see a team that's built that way.
Right.
Do what we did. I don't think you'll ever see that again.
That's probably one of the more colorful teams of your career, right?
Oh, yeah. It took that type of coach to be able to deal with all those personalities.
Right.
Because you had a lot of strong personalities. Basically, for me, I was really the strong personality on the offensive side. Everybody else were, very, very young. We had a very, very young offensive football team, with the exception of probably myself and Kadri Ismail. Everybody else were like, at work, best case scenario, maybe fifth-year guys.
Right.
Kadri, I was an 11-year guy. I think Kadri was maybe seventh. But on the defensive side of the football, you're dealing with Tony Siragusa, you had your Ray Lewis's, you had your Sam Adams. You had a lot of different guys. You had a lot of veteran guys, Michael McQuarrie, Rob Burnett, Rod Woodson, who wasn't a personality, but he was a more veteran guy.
Right.
And even the coaches. I mean, if you look at that coaching staff, the Rob Ryan, who's the head coach, the Mike Smith, head coach, Marvin Lewis, head coach, Jack Del Rio, head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. And it took Brian Billick. Only Brian Billick is the only coach that could have coached that team. Nobody else could have coached that team.
Thanks, Shannon. Hey, congratulations. We're rooting for you here in Baltimore.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
Hey, Shannon. Scott Jennings, WHBC, Canton, Ohio.
Okay.
On your Hall of Fame experience, have you talked to some of your former teammates and maybe someone else on the set of the TV show about their experiences with getting inducted, and what are your expectations going into this weekend?
Well, I've talked to Rod, but my expectations, I'm going to enjoy it. It's a very expensive endeavor, I will tell you that, but I'm going to enjoy it. I mean, it's an opportunity. I mean, some of my teammates that are coming, I haven't seen in, 20 years. A lot of my family, my kids, are getting an opportunity to be there. My mom, my sister, my high school coach, one of my high school teachers. So it's just going to be a great experience for me, and realizing that so many people come from such great distance to hear myself and the Deion Sanders and the Marshall Faulks, the Richard Dent, the veteran guys, to hear their speech and to go in and support their team. It's just great. I really don't have a whole lot of expectations. I'm just going to go there, do what I'm asked, and enjoy it, because this is it. There's no more greater, I guess, achievement than what's going to happen on Saturday starting at 7:00. This is it. This is the crowning achievement. If you're a professional football player, this is the crowning achievement. Super Bowl is great. I had a great time winning the first one. But to be of the 20,000-plus players that played the game, and there'll be, you know, 100 years from now, another 20-plus thousand. But to know that my image is forever bronzed in Canton, Ohio, is, as I said earlier, it just seems surreal. I still have a hard time believing that people thought that much of the way I played the game that I was worthy of this great honor.
Okay, Shan, thanks for the time. We'll see you this weekend.
All right, man. Thank you.